Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, where am I at here? Look in verse 24. Let's start in verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, Proverbs 18, verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we are thankful that you looked down upon man and saw that it was not good for us to be alone, recognized that we were incomplete, we were severely lacking, that we needed help. And you, O God, in your mercy and grace, saw fit to provide for us and help meet. We thank you for that. I pray, O God, that you give us grace and wisdom to live with that help meet joyfully, victoriously, faithfully, all the days of our vanity. Lord, we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there is a relationship that is stronger than your relationship between you and your mom and daddy. That's the relationship between a husband and a wife. There comes a point in life when you're supposed to be a big boy and a big girl, and you get married and you start your own family. And that relationship takes precedence over any other relationship in your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you ought to slight mom and dad or anybody else. I think you ought to have a good relationship with them if at all possible. But you don't let anything interfere with that God-ordained relationship between you and your wife. Amen. And a lot of times parents want to get involved in their children's lives. And what you need to do is stop and say, "Would you let anybody do that in your life?" Amen. "Well, you know, I'm not going to let them do that. I'm going to stick my nose in here." Well, would you let somebody stick their nose in your life in that same way? If you wouldn't, I suggest you back off. Now, I think the Lord is a God of balance and a God of order. And everything that's done properly, there's time and place for it. Amen. And so I think, you know, there's plenty of time for and a place for your mama and daddy in your life, the husband's mom and daddy, the wife's mom and dad. I think you ought to have good family relationships. And if you want to go to them family reunions and eat all that greasy chicken, help yourself. If you want to go down there and eat all that stuff, you don't know who cooked it, go ahead. You want to have big Thanksgiving dinners and Easter dinners and Christmas dinners and help yourself. But don't let anybody or anything get between you and your relationship with your wife and your husband. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes this evening. But primarily, I want to talk to you from the man's side, from our perspective, our need, our duty, and our responsibility. Because if it's done right, now I know you live in a day and age when the world is very forward and very corrupt, and we have girls calling boys and giving boys their phone numbers and calling them on the telephone and slipping them notes and girls asking boys. That ain't the way it's supposed to be done. Bless God, you young ladies. Of course, we're kind of short on young ladies tonight. I guess this is for you, Jordan. The boys make the first move. And if they don't make the move, bless God, just don't get made. Amen. A girl that is too forward is, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. It sets a bad precedent. People think ill of you. They think you're the wrong kind of young lady. And so girls are supposed to be quiet and demure and all that kind of stuff. He said, well, preacher, if I wait on him to make the first move and never get made, then just die an old maid, okay? I mean, just, but you don't chase after boys. Girls calling boys at home, you don't do that. That's just, it's just not proper. It just ain't right. But anyway, so it's the man's place to make the first move. It's our responsibility to take the initiative. We're supposed to be the alpha dog in this pack, amen? And so, men are supposed to make that first move, and a man takes a wife. A woman doesn't take a husband.
Amen.
Amen. There's a certain order to everything in the universe. A man takes a wife, so man ends up being a head. And now, there's a lot of controversy about that. You know, now we're independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James, all the Christians, all the sin-hating Baptists. And in our camp, what that means is, bless God, I tell the little lady what to think. I tell her what to do, and I tell her when to do it, and I tell her for how long. Yeah, and that's the reason you're going to be divorced before long, Shorty. Amen. Now, if you think that approach will work with a woman that's got any backbone or any brain in her head, you out of your ever-loving mind. Now, you may get you one of these little ignorant redneck girls that don't know how to do nothing but clean house, have babies, you know. You might get away with that. But you get a hold of one what can think and what can read and write, you ain't going to get away with that kind of attitude. You're going to have to treat them somewhat better. Somebody say amen. But we have this idea, and it's a lot more prevalent down south than it is anywhere else I've ever been. Down south, the typical southern male, of course, I know that never describes anybody in my presence. You understand how that works. The typical is always the guy on the streets, never the guy in a room with you. I know how it works. But the typical southern male pretty much thinks that women are second-class citizens and that you can pretty much treat them any way you want to. After all, they ain't good for nothing, but how did Karl Marx put it? He said, women were paid housekeepers. Paid housekeepers, paid whores, and that's all they were. He said women just prostituted themselves. They sold their bodies to have a roof over their head. Now, mind you, Karl Marx was married and had children. I just know his wife was thrilled when she read that. Of course, now his wife and his children almost starved to death on several occasions because Karl Marx never worked a day in his life. He was a great visionary, great intellectual. He got about 300 million people killed in the last 100 years of what he'd done. But anyway, that seems to be the mindset men have to some extent about women. They're just supposed to keep the house, cook the meals, and have the babies. We're not worried about being friends with them or being close to them or having a real relationship. It's just kind of an agreement. And the man's got his buddies from work and his hunting buddies and his drinking buddies and his coon hunting buddies and, you know, he's got a motorcycle and a boat and a closet full of shotguns and every now and then he gives $20 to a little lady and tells her to go down to Walmart and get her something nice. So you can't say you're not good to her or anything, you know. But they don't have real relationship. And you find there are lots and lots of families like that. Now, you say, well, that's extreme. Yeah, that is the extreme. But there are varying degrees, more or less, of that same thought pattern, that same mentality all through our society. I'm appalled at how men treat their wives. You say, well, I don't beat her up. I don't run around on her, and bless God, she's got plenty to eat. You take a look at her, you see she ain't missed too many. Well, ain't you something or else? You're a big boy, and you sure are good to her, ain't you? I mean, you just condescended to feed her every time of the day. You rascal, you. Now listen, God enjoined marriage. And the Bible said that God says that you are blessed if you find a good wife. It's a gift from God. You have obtained favor of the Lord. How dare we take the gifts of God and esteem them so lightly? I don't understand that. So I want to talk tonight to the ladies and the men. Ladies, I want to talk to you about what you ought to expect from your husband. And gentlemen, I want to talk to you about how you ought to treat your wife. And I want to do it from this perspective. So some of the things I'm going to mention are insignificant in and of themselves, I suppose, or at least, if not insignificant, they're not front page news. I'm of the mindset that we are in a lot of trouble in our country in a number of ways because we have allowed the degrading or the downward trend, the downward spiral of all kinds of things in our society. We do not require that children show respect to others. We have left off the teaching of manners. Children don't know how to behave. They don't know how to talk because they're not instructed. And if they grow up that way, they won't know how to treat a wife. And so I've come to the place in my life where I'm pretty much against anything that is a downward move of about anything. I was talking to somebody this morning, back there in the back, about the way we look and act and all at work, how bad some people look. And we started about 30 years ago, they used to have what they call dress down Friday, or casual Friday. And instead of having to wear a coat and tie or nice clothes, you could wear something less than that. Now, I want you to look at America today. We are all about grunge. No, men don't want to get a haircut. They only want to shave once or twice a week. Well, I'm here to tell you something. If you don't shave my house, you don't get enough sugar. Amen. And I like my sugar, so burn them things off. But in our society, we're running around. We're paying $50 for, and I'm going to get back to this in a minute, maybe. We're paying $50 for a pair of dungarees that somebody wore out before we got them. And then we want to wear them so low on our hips. And so loose that they keep falling down. I'm sick and tired of seeing boys' underwear. I'm going down the street the other day, and this boy's got on a pair of green and black checked boxer shorts. Or, I don't know which one's which. No, the underwear. The men's underwear. That boxer? Okay, that's what he had on. What's the other called? Briefs? Okay, he had on boxer shorts. And... and it was green and black. I mean, I know because I see him. And then his pants, his shorts is up here, and his pants was right there. And the straddle was right down here. And he couldn't walk because the pants was about that much longer than his legs. And so every time he took a step, he was stepping on the back of his britches. There wasn't no hem on them. He done walked it off. Amen. And then you see them little girls, they got them britches on, I don't know what they call, but from the straddle to the belt loops is about 5.5 inches. Which means There's too much of them exposed what that means. That's got to be miserably uncomfortable, by the way. And if your pants is that narrow and that low, how do you hide your underwear? I can't figure that out. Unless I ain't wearing none. Amen? But here's some boy, and everybody's, oh, he's a hunk. His hair's all scraggly and uncut and unkept, and he ain't shaved in 3 or 4 days. And here's some young girl just drooling over, and I'm going, what in God's name is wrong with your head? Well, man, when I was coming up, a boy that looked like that, there wasn't a white girl in town would have looked at that sucker. Amen. And if you'd have brought that little reprobate home, your mom and daddy would have said, that'd have been a one-time meeting, boy. And don't you never bring another old stray-like dog like that back in here, I'll tell you that. Don't you go to the pound and get him. Now, I said all that because you, in our society, everywhere you look, it's decadence. The music is going downhill. The morals are going downhill. Nobody's courteous anymore. Nobody's polite anymore. Adults speak to children and they just look at them and walk on by. They don't bother to answer. If I'd have done, my daddy would have slapped me right up on my side of my head, son. Amen. People come to visit. Kids don't talk to them. They just look at them and walk off. Well, last time you heard some young person say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I'm talking about in Christian homes. You ever hear them say, well, you know, you can't legislate morality. You can't require people. Sure you can. Because if they don't, you just bust them upside the head. Amen. If I'd have said, yeah, or no, or nah, to my mama, my daddy would have cracked my skull. When I talked to my mom, it was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You say, well, yeah, but you didn't do it out of respect. No, out of fear, because I knew my daddy would kill me if I didn't. Right. Amen. But I tell you what, it stood me in good stead down through the years. People are impressed when you say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yeah. I hear people, they'll tell me all the time, saying, you don't have to say sir to me. Yeah, if you're older than me, I do. I do. Now, everybody sitting here agreeing with that, how many of y'all making them do that? Amen. Well, now, my point here is that we're on a downward spiral. That everything is running downhill. And boy, I tell you what, if you run downhill long enough, sooner or later you got to hit bottom. And there ain't nothing down in the bottom but a mess. Now, marriages, Christian marriages included, are not what they ought to be. And it's because of all these attitudes and stuff that we picked up from society. You got Christian men running around referring to their wife as the old lady. Okay, old man. Why, how did she get to be the old lady? Don't you remember when she was your bride? Don't you remember when you was courting? Well, you wouldn't have called her that back then, would you? I didn't think so. Now, anyway, so I want to talk to you about husbands and wives and... Mostly, I want to talk to you about how men ought to treat their wives. Because I don't think we treat them well enough. I don't think they get the courtesy they deserve. We can pour out courtesy and politeness on friends and relatives and children even and not show it to our wives. I don't understand that. My number one relationship in this world, outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ, is this one. Now, I love my children. I could strangle them, but I love them. I'd love to strangle them. They are not the same kind of relationship, and it is not going to replace, and by the grace of God, it is not going to destroy this relationship. I'm going to keep this one first. I'm going to keep this one strong at all cost. Brother Lewis got both his young'uns at home now, and God willing, I hope they stay there a right good while yet. Amen. All mine are gone. All of ours have left the nest. That's wonderful. He that endures to the end. What was I going to say about that? Anybody remember where I was talking about? Anybody paying attention? Now, he's got them at home, and that's wonderful. And he's enjoying it. And they ought to be, him and Sister Nathalia, ought to be enjoying it, because they'd be gone before you know it. Amen? All mine are gone. I can't get past the hallelujah here. My point here is that you got them right now. I don't have them because the day comes when they move out. And the only thing I got left now, those bedrooms are still there. Amen? Them bedrooms where them babies used to play and sleep and all that stuff, and them little closets where they hung their clothes, they all empty now. All the laughter and all the little foot pattering through the house, and all the mama, can I have this and can I have that? No, go ask your daddy. And what'd you do that for, boy? When your daddy comes home, he's going to tear you. All that stuff is gone now. It's just me and her. Now, I'm glad I maintained that relationship. Okay? Because the day came when the others moved out. She's still here. This is what I'm going to finish the race with. This is my portion in this life. This is what God gave me. And you better make sure you understand those relationships and take care of them kids and love them kids and be good to them kids. God knows, I don't think you can be good enough to them and hard enough on them or any of that kind of stuff. But they never take the place of mama. Now, I have a whole... I got a couple pages here if you just want to know the truth. And I'm just going to kind of pick the ones I want because I'm preaching and I can do that. I want to talk to the men about your relationship with your wife. I thought about calling it the queen in my life. You ever want your wife to treat you like the king? I mean, you're the head of the house, ain't you? I'm the top dog here, ain't I? Huh? I'm an alpha male. Stiff, but I'm still an alpha male. I'm numero uno one around here, buddy. This is my house, and I'm in charge. Don't you ever forget it. And I believe that, by the way. Problem is, I don't live here alone. I have somebody else that lives there with me. She treats me like a king. I like it when she recognizes me as the head of the house. And somebody says, let's go do so-and-so. And she'll say, well, let me check with my husband and see what we're going on. Amen. And by the way, gentlemen, you ought to return that favor. I said, I don't have to ask nobody. I do what I want to. Well, you may do that, but it's kind of stupid. It's never wrong to be courteous. Amen. I got a couple of friends that we was going to go play golf one day. And the one boy has been married one wife for about 45 years. The other fellow has been married 3 times. And this one fellow, I said, let's go play golf. Let me call my wife and see what we got going on. I said, okay. And the other brother chimed in and said, oh yeah, I got to go call your wife, you know. He said, I ain't got no woman running my life. And his brother said, yeah, that's why you've been married 3 times. I said, amen, brother. Where'd I go? I forget. I am the king. I just want to make sure you remember that. Now, I like, my wife spoils me rotten. We got home last night, and it was late. She's out looking at new cars. And so we got home late last night, and we was kind of tired, and had a little studying and stuff to do. And I was sitting there about 10:30, and I said, I'm hungry. And she said, you want some of the peanut butter cookies? I love them things. She got up at 10:30 and went in the kitchen and got them things out of the refrigerator and cut them up and smashed them out and fixed me a great big plate of peanut butter cookies and a cold glass of milk. Brought them in there to me. I never got out of my seat. I love that. I'm sitting there going, I am the king. Oh, yeah! She dresses pretty much to please me. She's been wearing the same hairdo for 40 years because it's the one I like. She keeps my house the way I like it. She fixes the meals that I like. Sometimes I think her whole world revolves around being good to me and making me look good and my loose ends and making sure I don't forget things and making sure I don't look bad. And it's like I am her ministry in life. And well, I appreciate that. And the older I get, the more forgetful I get, the more I appreciate it. She treats me like a king. I thought, a king ought to have a queen. I don't want to be married to a servant girl. I don't want to be married to just a drudge. I want a woman that's got a mind of her own that can think. I want my wife to be submissive like the Bible says, but I don't want her to be just yes, yes, yes. I don't want her to be spineless. It's a darn good thing too, by the way. I don't think I could have stayed married to somebody that was intellectually inferior to me. I would have walked all over. We'd have been through a long time ago. I need somebody that's got a brain, that can think, that has courage and backbone, that can disagree. And then if I put my foot down, she will be submissive, and that's the way it is. But she sure lets me know what she thinks, and she tell me right quick if I'm making a big boo-boo here. Amen. Now, if I insist, you get out of the way, let me make the boo-boo. So what he's saying, I'm saying my wife treats me like a king. She is good to me. Not just at church. My wife is like that at home or when we're at, she's always that way. She has worked hard. It's not her nature. Her nature is to be very self-assertive, very determined. I mean, she's definitely her own person. But because she loves me and she loves the Lord, she takes the position that the Bible teaches a wife ought to take. Now, I said all that to say this. What should be my response? I ought to take this woman who loves me and cherishes me and makes me, my success, the goal of her life. What do I owe this lady? A great deal of what I am, a great deal of what I get done, a great deal of what people think about me, because of her. She is my best advocate. She not only my lover and my friend, she promotes me. You want to get in hot water? You want to see somebody fly hot? You want to see rage embodied in a beautiful face? Say something bad about me to my wife. Jump on me. Go ahead. And you will have a tiger by the tail. What do I owe her for that? I think I owe her. She has defended me and taken care of me and promoted me and loved me and stood by me for 45 going on. 46 years. She raised my children, cooked my meals, kept my house, paid my bills, been my friend, been there in the worst moments of my life. What do I owe her? Well, I see all the time where people have been married 30 and 40 years like us, and super stupid gets the crazies or the warm fuzzies or whatever it is that's going around. It's in the water, in the air, and he's run off with some cheap trollop 25 years old. I tell you what, you didn't owe her that. That's not what she earned. That's not what she earned. I see men all the time that build their own life around their little friends, and I'm not against you having, I like to go play golf on Saturday and spend a few hours. But I don't want to spend all my leisure time and all my free time with the boys and this, that, and the other, or with the children. I want to spend some of it with her. See, I owe her. I owe her some of my time. I owe her my attention. I owe her my fidelity. I owe her my love. You say, well, you're just paying a debt. Yeah, well, I'm doing it gladly, though. I want you to understand that. I'm doing it because I love her. And I love her because of the way she's treated me over the years. But the truth is, love or no love, I owe her that for what she's done. Now, people, I know everybody's different, and I'm not trying to make clones or anything. But, gentlemen, I think that we need to show respect for our wives. The Bible said, honor to whom honor. Right? Showing honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We go someplace. I park the car. My wife sits there. I've instructed her to do that. She would get out and open her own door and close her own door. She's perfectly capable. But years ago, I told her, I said, when we park the car, don't you move. I will come around and open your door. We go in a restaurant, you stand right there. Don't you dare open the door. I will open the door. When we come back out, I open the door. When we get ready to get to the car, I open the door. She gets in, I close the door. Then why do you do that? I will show her a little honor. And see, I know it's okay if I show her honor and give her honor when it's just me and her. But the world doesn't know that. I really do want the world to see that I respect her, that I honor her, that she is my queen, that I have her on a pedestal. Therefore, I don't walk off in front of her. I open the door. I close the door. We walk arm in arm. I wait on her. And a whole bunch of my little things around the house and little things we're out in public. Say, why? I want the world to know she's been a good wife, a faithful wife, that I love her, but after 45 years, I still respect her. I honor her for the life of service she has rendered to me. I don't think that's unreasonable. I'll tell you another reason I do it. I think it sets a great example for the generation coming on. You're going to have to admit now, young people are not seeing the proper example on television yet. They are not going to see the proper example down at the schoolhouse. Young girls don't know how men ought to treat them. And you know that's so because of the way you see them treat them. You ever go in some of these places, like go down to Steak and Shake. We're thinking about going there tonight, by the way. Go down to Steak and Shake, and here comes in a bunch of teeny boppers. Or you go to the little cafe or wherever it's at, and young people come in. And there'll be three or four guys and one girl. Or maybe two. And the guys are all together and they're shooting the breeze and laughing and the women are bringing up the rear. And they go over and get in the booth or sit down at the table and the girls sit there and they don't join the conversation, they're not doing anything. The boys are laughing it up and cutting it up and bragging about this and lying about that to each other. And they ignore them little old girls all evening. Till it's time to head to the house. And then all of a sudden, they get all the attention. I'm here to tell you, if I was a girl, you treated me like that, you wouldn't do that but one time. And your ugly butt would never see me again. Amen. You won't kiss me goodnight, best guys. You better give me some attention all night long. I ain't even got started on this message. That's all right. This outline will be here. I preached this outline in November of 1996. So it ain't going nowhere. Boy, I see Christian marriages breaking up. I see folks that's invested their lives in each other and breaking up. I'll be quite honest, it just bothers me. You know, I've been married to this same lady 45 years. Never been separated. I've never thought about leaving her. I thought about killing her. Well, I've never thought about leaving her. I've never thought about divorcing her. I've never looked at another woman. That's the only one I ever wanted. I have wanted her buried a time or two. They can do that for you. Somebody say amen. The Bible said, be not bitter against your wives. I know why it says that. Well, that means they can get under your skin. And I know we don't bother them the same way they bother us. Somebody say amen. Where was I at? I don't either, man. Yeah. If you've got a good wife, not just a woman, but if you've got a woman that's faithful, that cooks your meals, keeps your house, she don't embarrass you, she pays your bills, she doesn't put you in debt, she doesn't waste your money, she teaches your children within the parameters you set down. Amen? She's a good friend, she's a good companion, she's a good lover. You owe her respect. You owe her honor. And this younger generation, the girls aren't seeing that. They're getting treated like second-class citizens. They're getting treated like sex objects. I find that demeaning. Okay. Now, I want to set an example in public. Opening doors, closing doors, holding my wife's hand, waiting on her. When we walk down the street, and I'm just telling you things I do. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. I'm just saying what I do. If we go shopping, if we're walking down the sidewalk, if the building's on this side and the curb is over here, I'm always on the outside. So why? Because, one, if somebody stumbles into traffic, it'll be me. If there's water there and somebody gets splashed, it'll be me. She always is placed in the protected spot, the safest spot. And there's just all kind of little things. And you know something? She just eats that stuff up. She likes that. She likes being treated good. She likes having respect shown. I must confess, I kind of like it myself. And it's helped us to grow closer to each other, more comfortable with each other, more respect for each other. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to tell you, do this and do this. I'm not trying to set some kind of little program or some little formula or some little mold. I'm not trying to turn every couple into the same. But I am saying that if you're married and in love and you've got a good wife, she's a gift from God. And if she's been faithful to you and met your needs and whatever it is you require of her, if she's done that, the least you can do is give her honor and respect. And not just when you're alone in the confines of your own living room, den, or bedroom. I want the world to say, man, look at the way he treats her. Either he is whooped, or that's one good woman. Amen? All the time I see people look at us, and I've had, Lord only knows how many people make comments. We went to a little restaurant not long ago, and we got out of the car. I opened the door. She got out. I closed the door. We got to the door of the restaurant. I opened the door. She walked in. I think it was Shoney's. But she walked in. I got us the seat. I get, that's the man's job. She stands there, and I take care of all that stuff. And we go by, and the little girl comes over, and she said, "That was so sweet." My wife said, "He does that all the time." She said, "Oh, my goodness, you must have a good one." And my wife said, "Oh, yeah." And that's enough of that, see, but I'm saying people notice. They notice. You and I are Christians. You and I represent Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be lifting the world up out of darkness, out of the muck and the mud and the mire. We're supposed to be setting a higher standard, holding the flag aloft, lifting the world up from darkness to light. Amen? And that's not just preaching the gospel. Our conduct, our behavior, the way we live, the high standards of our life, our high standards of right and wrong and morality. We're set those so the world can see them and see that in us there is something different. Something has changed us and transformed us, made us into a new creature, and they desire what we have. And so this king and queen thing is to me vitally important. It's just one more piece of the puzzle that makes Christians what they are. And that gives a testimony to the world. But now look at the impact and the effects of it. When I honor her and show her respect openly and publicly, it enhances our relationship. It sets an example for young people. It testifies to the world. And it glorifies God. Somebody want to find me a downside here? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, gentlemen, go ahead and be the alpha dog. Be the big dog in the parking lot. I mean, you know, be the head of the house. Because God will... promotes you and exalts you. You owe her respect, you owe her, and you owe it before God and the people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's good preacher. Amen. All right. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you now that you loved us and